Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll be looking at verses 13 and 14 this morning. As we continue on, we're getting to the last part of our Standards of the Master, our Sermon on the Mount. We're getting to the part, I want you to understand that this is Jesus is wrapping up his sermon, the greatest sermon, the greatest preacher that's ever preached, and he's getting to invitation time, to decision time. Like any other sermon, he's drawing it down, and really his teaching and what he was trying to get across, where he's been showing us all along and all through the study of this, that the Pharisees and their self-righteousness and how they had put themselves against the true beliefs of what he had come to show everybody. This is what it's supposed to look like. And so he's starting to draw the net now. He's getting to that point where he's going to have us to do, we're going to have to make a decision. And that's how most sermons and how they're supposed to end. It's a time of coming together and meeting God's Word. And before we go any further, let's stand to reverence God's Word. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 through 14, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, the Word of God says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that you'll be glorified through the preaching of your Word. Hide me behind the cross. I'm not capable in my own power of preaching this sermon, so I rest on you, rely on your Holy Spirit. May you be lifted up and glorified. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Title of this message, Life or Destruction. Life or Destruction. As I said, we're coming to that decision time. The end of his sermon is invitation time, and he's finished up, and he's starting to apply these things, and he's asking the questions. He's asking us a question this morning. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with this great sermon that we've been listening to? How are we going to apply it? He brings us, he's going to bring us to this first teaching, and the next few sermons will be this invitation that he's given. He's bringing us to this sermon about the wide gate and the narrow gate. And he's asking us, I like in the King James it says the straight gate, and we don't use that word many times now. I think we use it, maybe the only time it's used is for straitjacket, and that's a way of confining somebody. But it actually, that word means confined or narrow or pinched. The narrow gate that leads to life and the broad gate that leads to destruction. And Jesus wants us to know and for us to make a certain decision. The Word of God has to be loosed in our life. Listen, he never meant for us just to come to listen to a sermon, to learn about these things, just to know it. He didn't want us just to know it, but he wants us to apply these things, to turn it loose in our life, and for us to understand what it is that he's trying to teach us through this whole Sermon on the Mount. We don't come just to listen, but we come for Christ to do a work in our heart and to change us. Jesus has never told anyone that he just teaches us for us to know, but that we can have this relationship with him. I want to know it can transform you. The Word of God can transform you. He gives these truths in our lives that it can transform each and every one of us. And my prayer is for you this morning, if you've never been transformed by the Word of God, that this will be the day that you hear the gospel message clearly. On a snowy day that you could have stayed at home, it could be that God had this day for you. I want us to keep that in mind as we're going through this. You know, I want you to know that Christianity's always been the narrow way. It's always been. It's not going to be the popular way, okay? It's never going to be the majority way. It's always been the narrow way. But you know what? It's narrow. It's vitally narrow in that it's authentic, it's discipline, and it's practice. And it's this relationship with God through Christ. And it's going to be very narrow, and we'll see that this morning. I want us to look at life or destruction. And I want us to see first two ways, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Two ways this morning. We understand really the concept of narrowness. When I'm talking about narrowness, we understand, listen, if you want to be a doctor,
Or even nurse. Some of you nurses, look, you want to be that. What do you have to do? You have to study. You have to put time in the books, don't you? You need to know about the human anatomy. You know all these things if you want to be a good doctor. What if you want to be a great musician? You got to play the instrument. You got to spend time in the notes. You got to learn all these things for there to be fullness in your life. What about if you want to be a good basketball player? You got to spend time in the gym. Or a good hunter, time in the woods. Or a good fisherman, time on the stream. Or a good golfer, time on the golf course. It's this idea of narrowness, making our life focus on this certain thing so there's this fullness that comes out of it. We get what we put in kind of idea. We can grasp this in all other areas of life, and we need to grasp it in our relationship with Christ this morning. Because first and foremost, Jesus is letting us know there's no neutrality in this. Come on. Now, there's many of you that feel like you can be neutral. Now, wait a minute. You know, here's the deal. I like the things of the world. I like my friends. I don't want to be different. And so, you know, but I like church. I know there's something about church. I know there's something about the preaching. And it makes me feel good when I go to church. And so you kind of teeter-totter on the fence. Guess what? There's no teeter-totters. No fence. There's no neutrality. There's no neutral ground. This is Jesus speaking today. He's letting us know there's just two ways. And you're either on one path or the other this morning. You're not hovering. You're not waiting to make a decision. You're on one or the other. And so he's letting us know this. And no one is stagnant. No gray areas. One way leads to life and the other road leads to destruction. Nobody's straddling the fence this morning. I want you to know something. This puts Jesus at odds with about all the modern teaching today. It does. Because our culture, our society, wants to say there's really just one God. There's just one God. These are good people that are Buddhist. They're good people that are Muslim. They're good people that all these things say. They're good people everywhere. And there's this one God. And so what man has done, that's right, has created all these roads, different roads, but it's leading it to be like God on the mountaintop, right? A big high mountain out here. A Riddle's Ridge, how's that? Riddle's Mountain. And he's up there, and you got all these paths that you can go up there to get to him. That's what the world's teaching today. It's saying, you know, all roads lead to heaven, all roads lead to God. You just got to be this good person. You got to grasp that. Listen, if you buy into that thinking, we're going to see that's broad road thinking today. Because Jesus is going to, he's going to jerk that right out from under us today. When he says there's two ways, just two ways. All religions are not the same. We don't all worship the same God. The teaching believes that, you know, we're just, all of us are together. We're one. Here's what most people, everybody has to find their own path to God. You have to find your own path to God. People can't believe, they cannot believe that we believe there's only one way to God. They cannot believe that. They think that's so narrow. You think it's so, you know, that they're good people all around the world. They're good people and they do all these things. And how dare you believe that if they don't believe like you that they're lost? How dare you? It's not our words. It's Jesus' words. I want you to see that this morning. It's not a preacher. It's not a Baptist belief. It's not a Methodist belief. It's not an American belief. It's the Word of God. Two ways. Only one way leads to life. What do we, you know what they do? They say we're very narrow. That's right. We're prejudiced and we're bigots because that we believe that way. I want us to think about that. This is the prevailing view of our culture, okay? That's the culture that you live within. We don't want anybody to get the preconception that our religion is superior to anybody else. So we don't want them to think that we think that we're superior. We don't think we're superior. But Jesus said there's only one way. To the Father, did he not? He's very opposed to the modern view. In fact, in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except by me. Who said that? Jesus. I love what Peter said. Poor old Peter. Rough. Denied Christ, thought, I'll stand with you forever, Lord. When it come down to it, he was cussing, wasn't he? Trying to get out of it. But when the Holy Spirit came, you see, Peter tried to do it on his own, but when the Holy Spirit came, man, he stood at Pentecost, preached a message that 3,000 got saved, and in Acts chapter 4, he says, nor is our salvation in any other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. He said, there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Name of Jesus. That's it. Very narrow. Very narrow. Is Christianity bigoted? Is that prejudice? The world tells us you can't believe that about other people. You can't say that other people's religion is not right. That's a private thing. Religion is a private thing. That's bigoted. I want you to know something. That view in itself that tells you that you cannot believe that Jesus is on the way is bigoted in its own self. Think about the loop in that. When they say you cannot believe this, they've already become that which they're kicking against, that which they're fighting against. It's a bigoted remark. They tell you you cannot believe this way. Not in fitting the world, because it's all about holding hands and everybody being in peace, singing Kumbaya. Don't matter what God they say it is, it's all the same God. All heading that way. That's what the world wants. You know what they want? They just want to be lazy. They just want it easy. That's what we all want. Just take it easy. We don't want to rock no boats or any of these things. The truth is, the Word says, and we study it, Jesus confessed to be God. He confessed to be God. Buddha didn't. Confucius didn't. Muhammad didn't. Jesus did. He confessed to be God. So keep that thought in mind. Jesus is either the way or no way, but he's not just a way, okay? He's either the way or no way. He's not just a way. Not just another throw-us in the pot. See, when you go over to India and you evangelize, you got to be very careful because they believe in 3 million gods. And what if you're not careful? Everybody will get saved. But you know what they're doing? They're just throwing in 3 million to one. Throw Jesus in the pot with the rest of them. But let me tell you, it's a big difference when you say, listen, no, just one. You got to throw the rest of them away. Oh, my goodness. It's a different story then. That's the truth of God's Word. I'm going to ask you a question. Is it bigoted to say 2 plus 2 is 4? Is it bigoted to say 2 plus 2 is 4 when once somebody says, well, I believe 2 plus 2 is 5? What am I supposed to say? Well, that's your belief. That's okay. Would you do that? Would you say, oh, well, that's okay. I don't want to disagree. If you think 2 plus 2 is 5, then you have a right to believe that. Why is it that truth can operate in every other realm but not in religion? The problem is that people are out of touch with reality. Reality is we live in a fallen world. That God created, it didn't evolve. It just didn't, something just didn't jump out of the ooze and begin walking the earth. And all of a sudden we become a monkey, and then we become this in-between, and now we're this man that we've grown into. Where's the missing links, by the way? You see, it takes more faith to believe something like that than to believe that God created us in His image. And because He created us in His image, we're answerable to Him. And we chose sin because we disobeyed God. And we need a Savior. And all the way through Genesis, all the way to Revelation, we see this seed that's coming. And we see Christ came and He died. The only reason God comes into earth is because we messed up. And the truth is, there's only one way. There's not been another person that came and gave His life for you, okay? And He was God. He was the perfect God-man. He had to be the perfect sacrifice because that's all holiness would require. 2 plus 2 is 4. Don't care what anybody thinks. Jesus is the only way. It doesn't matter what anybody chooses to think. He's the only way. He made that statement. He's God. Well, our next, easy or difficult. Two ways, but easy or difficult. Look at verses 13 and 14. Let's break these down. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Wide and narrow. So we see this easy and difficult, this understanding of easy and difficult. Wide, the wide gate that leads to the broad ways, that most people are on that path. That's what the Scripture's saying. And so when I chose the word easy, it doesn't say easy in the Scripture, but it says that the narrow way is difficult. The opposite of that would be easy. And if everybody's on it, it's got to be easy. They're walking that path is what the Scripture said. And really, that's startling to us. Can you imagine those people on the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus makes this statement that everybody, this way is broad, and there's many people are on that path. Can you imagine? You know what you have to ask? What path am I on this morning? That's what it does. It startles us, and he wants us to stop and say, wait a minute, which road am I on? Which path? Which gate did I go in by? The gospel proclaims that we must receive Christ's sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is the only way to restore our broken relationship with God. Most people believe that is too narrow, that it's cracked, it's just not the right way. Guess what? That's the majority thought in our world today. That's broad road thinking. Easy and broad, verse 13. Many who go in by that. The Scripture does not say easy, but that majority, again, has to be. Why is it so easy? Why is so many finding that path? It's a good question. It's the road we're all born on. We learn this gate early. It's where we start. Unless you have made a radical change, if you've come to that place in your life that you got off of that path, did a 180 turn, it's called repentance. You're on that road. You're on it. Listen, I don't care how many times you come to church. I don't care how godly grandma and grandpa was or daddy and mama was. If you've not come to that point in your life that you've repented of your sins, you're still on the road. It could be our problem. It might be the reason why I just don't think like they do. Why is that? There's got to be a time in your life where there's been a transformation. When the Spirit of God comes and dwells in you, I promise you, you're going to know it. It's going to make a change, make a difference. You might have grew up in church. You might have grew up in a Christian home. It might not have been a radical change as me. I was a heathen. And let me tell you, it was a radical change. Why? Because Christ came into my heart, and he changed my whole way of thinking. Another great example is that is we're in America, we're born to communicate in what? English. Now, some of us are better than others. Sandy, don't be laughing. But let me ask you this. How many of you, when you got older in high school and college, had to take an English class to study how to learn how to speak? That's absurd. Why? Because that's what you grew up doing. That was your native tongue. That was your language that you learned to speak. Listen, it's easy because when mama said, no, you learned no real quick, didn't you? Or some of us had to learn harder ways. We had to learn on the other end. Yes means yes, and no means. And so we learn this English as we go. But listen, you try to learn another language. Un poquito español. Mi esposa es muy bonita. That's all. I know my wife's very beautiful, okay? Listen, you got to learn things like that. Necesito el baño. You know, these kind of things. You learn these things. Listen, it takes an act of your will to learn and unlearn and learn in another language and these kind of things. It's that idea of that easy road. You're just born into it. You're just walking on it. Why? Because it's your flesh and we're born into sin. And it takes an act of your will and God's Spirit coming in to turn you back the other way. You have to come to that place where you break your grip on your own life. And that's a tremendous act of the will. A tremendous act. Wide gate thinking is, you know what wide gate thinking is? I have room for all faith in my beliefs. You know what that does? It leads to destruction. All other religions teach us how we can reach up to God. Jesus comes, you know what he says? Quit reaching. Here's how God is reaching in. That's the difference. All these other religions are reaching up to God. Jesus said, here, quit reaching. This is how God. How God reached down to you. Broad road thinking. Well, narrow and difficult. Verse 14. Because he says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The only way to enter this gate is one at a time. Okay? other one's broad. Everybody, the crowd's falling. Majority, the only way to enter in this narrow gate, the difficult, is one at a time. It's almost the thinking of a turnstile. You ever went through a turnstile? Right? You got to go through there, and it counts as you go through. One at a time. It's narrow. It's very condensed. I want you to know something. When you get ready to go through that gate and you go through that turnstile one at a time, there's some things you can't drag baggage in there with you, okay? There's only one thing that'll fit, and that's you, a forgiving you, okay? But here's the deal. We try to drag baggage, worldliness. You can't bring the world with you, okay? You've got to shun the things of the world, the thinking of the world, the idea of the world. You shun that when we go through the narrow gate. Just won't fit. You leave it behind. You make a break from the world. You know, we hate being different. Let's just be. We have to fit in. Now, some of us, we love not to fit in, and we'll go to great lengths not to. But listen, most of the world wants to fit in. They want to find their niche. They don't want to be different. They want to fit in. And we love our traditions, our customs. We love the majority. The first step to becoming a Christian is realization of the crowd we're running with. Which way are they taking you? Crowd you're running with. Which way is it taking you? Crowd you're running with, is it going the way of the world? Just good old boys, man. Just the good old boys, never meaning no harm. Beat all you ever saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. I mean, we get to thinking it's okay. Making their way the only way they knew how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Just the good old boys. We can be just good old boys and going straight to hell. All right? What is your group and what is your crowd? Which way are they taking you? Kind of proves out what path you're on, just to be honest with you. What crowd do you fit in with? Not only do we leave worldliness behind, we must leave ourselves behind. You say, wait a minute. I'm not talking about you as a person. I'm talking about yourself, your flesh. And really, that's the biggest stumbling block of all, self. Meaning what we want. This is a sinful man. You got to leave him behind. In fact, Paul says you got to put off the old man. Put on the new. You leave him behind. Leave him at the gate. He don't fit. Just a question. We get right down to nitty gritty here. How are you relating to God this morning? We want to talk about being a good person, going to church, doing this or that. Jesus is asking us this morning, do you know me personally? You can go to church, you can be a good person, and you can be missing the narrow way. It's a relationship with Christ. It's a turning from sin and a turning to Him. It's coming face to face with your sin and the realization that you're the one that Christ came to die for. Not this whole idea. We got the group mentality. We like to herd up. We like to herd up, and a lot of times we'll look the same, look around. That's the herd mentality. It even comes into church many times. We just like to fit in. We all like to be the same. We'll even group up. It doesn't matter how. It's socioeconomic. It doesn't. You'll group together with the way you feel comfortable with. Guess what? This way right here, you cannot be the majority. You have to be the minority. And you have to be going completely opposite of what the world says to go. That's the Scripture. That's what the Scripture says. Have you come to grips with the truth and what's between you and the Lord? What's standing between you and the Lord this morning? Do you grasp and realize it's not in what you do that makes you right with the Lord, but it's who you are? And from that relationship, listen, it's a completely opposite. It's not what you do being good that makes you right standing with God. It's because you're in right standing with God through a relationship with Christ is what makes you do good things. It's completely opposite. It's not a works-based religion on what I do is what makes me right with the Lord. It's that relationship with Him is the reason I do the things that I do. What makes you in right standing? Do you know, here's the deal, do you know if your number was called, and there was many of them, thousands of people's number was called yesterday, and will be called before the sun goes down, if it's your time and you stand before the Lord, what are you going to say? Why are you there? Why should He let you in heaven? Only one reason. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied to your life. You can't sit there and say, well, I always went to South Fort Baptist Church, and I sang in the choir, and I went to Sunday school and all that. None of that. You can't take that through the turnstile, okay? One thing, I've forgiven you. It's the only thing that gets you on the narrow path. It's narrow. It's tight. Don't be dragging stuff with you thinking that's what makes you right, because it don't. Which road are you on this morning? The narrow way takes absolute decision and are forsaken of anything that displeases our King. Why? It leads to the kingdom. You got to get rid of the baggage that you think is making you right with God, or all these things that's keeping you from being what God meant for you to be. Get rid of it. Chuck it. Just come to Him. Serve Him. Love Him. Get off the easy way if you're on it, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Strip everything down and come just as you are. Give it to Him. Whatever goes through your mind when I say that. Well, one of these days when I grow up or whatever. Or I need to quit doing this and get those things right. You know what? That's a lie from hell. And that you'll never get those things right. I don't know how many years that I tore up the altar thinking, oh, Lord, forgive me for whatever, blank, 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 whatever I had done. It was the right thing, but I was thinking that's what made me right. When I finally said, I'm tired, Lord. I'm tired of trying to do it right. I can't. God, help me. He saved me. And maybe this morning you need that in your life. And you know if you need that or not, because you know which crowd you're running with. You know which road you're on. You know you're thinking. If you're broad road thinking, well, I've got room for all religions. Listen, that's broad road thinking. There's only one way, and you have to nail that down, and that's through Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. No other way. No other name. Give it. By which men must be saved. And quit putting it off. Quit putting this off. I mean, it could be this morning, this snowy Sunday morning right here in Todd, that you've heard the Word of God and this is your day. You know what God's doing? He's holding back eternity for you. Why? Because one of these days that last name's going to come in. He holds back eternity waiting on you. And when He comes to you and the Holy Spirit shows you that you're lost and you reject that, let me tell you, the next time it comes, it's going to be a little easier and a little easier. A little easier. Before you know it, you're a reprobate going to church every Sunday. When you know that your life has never came to that point. Oh, you might have walked an aisle. You might have had an emotional experience, but your life never changed. Life or destruction. Life or destruction is what He's offering this morning. Linda, come play. I'm going to ask you. Let's get down. Here, let's head bowed, eyes closed. Stand to your feet, please. This is real. This is time where I want you to do business with God. Nobody else. Don't be thinking about anything else. I want you to search your heart. And let me ask you these questions. Which path are you on this morning? Your life plays it out. There's no straddling the fence. Which path are you on? What is your understanding of what makes you in right standing with God? If it's anything besides your relationship with Jesus Christ, it's wrong. And lastly, how are you going to respond this morning? You see, there's got to be a decision. You either know that you're on that path and know for sure, or you're not sure. If you're not sure, as soon as Brittany starts singing, you need to come forward. Don't put it off. Don't let Satan try to steal you. Don't let those little voices come in and say, well, I need to do this, I need to... Put all that aside and choose Christ this morning. There's something on your heart. You know that you're not, you know what? I just, Lord, need to be more Christ-like in 2016. I just need to get a grip on this thing that this Sermon on the Mount He keeps talking about. And the only way I can live it out is to have Christ and that Holy Spirit. And I want Him so much more in my life. If you want that, come forward when we start singing. Whatever it is God's laid on your heart, there has to be a response this morning. It has to be. Might not be a coming forward, but it's got to be a response that you have to make sure in your heart right now. I want you to do that. Moment of silence before she starts singing. And know that you know. If you don't know that you know, today's the day. He's passing by this morning. Don't let him go on by again. If you need him, come receive Christ. More verse. This is your verse. You need to come to a visit with God. You do it. These are difficult verses to really swallow. We have to know what road that we're on. Don't leave here today and not know. Don't be scratching your head wondering. If you need to talk to me, please see me. There's nothing I'd rather do than talk to you about Jesus. Why? Because if he can save me, he can save anybody. Come on. I guarantee there's nothing in your background or your life that's no more worse than the things that I have done. I'm not bragging on the devil. I'm bragging on Christ and what he's done for me. If he can do that for me, he can do it for anybody. So don't leave here. What is it God wants from you? Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Your storms in your life, you want to see how to face them, how we can overcome the storms that come tonight. Youth will be here. We'll be doing the children. Be a lot of good things.